When David got to the spot where his company had rallied, the fight was on in all its fierceness. Muskets were being handled as clubs. Men tore down rocks from the wall in front and threw them down, smashing into the bodies of the advancing troops. At times, the fighting was so close, only fists and bayonets could be used. Each man could feel the breath of the other man trying to kill him. This battle was so traumatic to David that it was a while before he could write about it in his diary.
I remember distinctly of seeing a rebel color bearer with his musket in one hand and flag in the other, with outspread arms, jump upon the stone wall shouting, "Surrender, you damn Yankees!" In an instant, a Company A or F man, I cannot tell which, as the smoke was commencing to get heavy, ran his bayonet through the man's chest, firing at the same time. I can still see in my mind's eye how the shot tore into shreds the back of his blouse as he fell backwards, holding to his musket and colors. Part of the flagstaff was on our side. Someone grabbed it while someone on the other side got a hold of it, and the tussle was lively for a few seconds who should get possession of it. I think the Rebs must have gotten it, as I never saw or heard of it afterwards.
As David was retreating, he noticed Lieutenant Yair, who had gone down with a terrible wound, having been shot through the hip. He was urging his men to retreat, or they would be taken prisoner. A moment afterwards, a rebel shell passed in front of David, and the swing of its fuse struck him across the face, leaving a black powder burn. Meantime, David thought of home and friends, but he remained ready to shoot every rebel in sight. All the straggling soldiers finally landed on Cemetery Hill behind the stone fence. One of the men shouted,
"Let them come now. Shoes or no shoes, we will let them know that we are here."
After being behind these fortifications for a while, David saw the rebel skirmish lines drawing out on their right. Orders came soon for them to go down and meet them, which they did in the fields down below the Cemetery Hill. On the slope of Cemetery Hill, David saw many dead soldiers whose pockets had been turned wrong side out. They had obviously been searched and their valuables had been taken. Most horrifying were the bodies, that the clothing had all been torn open. He could tell when he saw blouses unbuttoned and even trousers pulled up that this was done by the dying man himself looking for his mortal wound. His body was left as a testimony of his last minutes, and David could tell how he died by the expression still lifelike on his face. This was a common sight after a battle. The next day, while on the skirmish line, Lieutenant Barnes and David were standing under a small tree and discussing how soon the Louisiana Tigers would charge them. They had been discovered shortly before sunrise, lying in a depression in the ground at the front. About this time, something came sailing along through the air just between the two men that had not the familiar sound of a shell. The lieutenant remarked,
"I think that must be a piece of iron."
As it passed through the treetops, it broke off a limb about an inch thick. When the branch dropped to the ground, it knocked Barnes' cap off.
I think that was iron, boy.
He remarked.
And the next time, they'll be throwing the blacksmith shops.
As expected, after sundown, along came the Tigers with many other charging in two lines deep. Sometime later, David wrote about it in his diary.
In the evening of the first day, I had charge of a detail of men before the cannon. We remained in this position protected as well as we could during all night of the first day and into the evening of the second day, up to the time of the charge by the Louisiana Tigers on the evening of the second. We were associated with the skirmish detail of the 33rd Massachusetts. After the charge was made and the enemy repulsed, we followed them down to the stone fence and lane. Here we remained on these low grounds until the fourth day.